Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into another edition of the Gig'em 24/7 Sports Podcast. I am Andrew Hattersley, joined by Carter Carls, and lucky to be joined today by John Talty from Bama247.com. John, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
Big game, obviously, this weekend. And, you know, as we kind of head into the latter portion of this week, one of the big talking points has been the line kind of getting closer, I think, to more of a toss-up. And there was that story about Jalen Milroe and rumor about him and his hamstring or anything. Have you heard anything like that, or what's kind of his status heading into Saturday?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the expectation is that he's going to play. I think there has been some buzz about him dealing with some hamstring issues. How much to trust any of that, I think, is always in question. And I think, you know, Bama's obviously going to downplay and other people are going to play it up. And so I think we'll see on Saturday what's real and what's not. I think, you know, I've heard some stuff that he might have tweaked something, but, you know, the expectation is that he's going to play. And so we'll see, probably pretty early on in that game, I'm sure, with the rumors buzzing about that. If you're A&M, you want to test it a little bit, see how it looks and see if he still has, you know, kind of the full go he's had in some of these other games.
John, it's been funny. Bama's, I guess their narratives have been kind of similar to A&M this season, as far as when A&M lost to Miami, it was like, oh my God, the season's over. Then they kind of bounced back with two double-digit, you know, SEC wins. And Bama similarly, right, like lose to Texas, the USF game made people want to puke. And then, you know, they come out and they beat Ole Miss by a couple of scores. They take care of business with Mississippi State. Have they kind of figured it out, or is it, hey, Mississippi State stinks and Ole Miss, you know, I don't know. But how do you kind of see it as far as Alabama?
I think they're very similar to your point, and it feels like both of them. I think for Alabama, it was more of an offensive thing. I think for A&M, it was more of a defensive thing. But it feels like both of them have kind of found an identity over the last two games. But I think what makes this game so fascinating is that I think it'll put to the test as to whether that's real or not. You know, I think Ole Miss is legitimately a pretty good team. And I think the way they beat LSU almost makes that Bama game look even better by comparison, especially the way they played defensively. Mississippi State, I don't think, is very good, so hard to take away a lot from that. You know, Auburn looked awful in that A&M game, but then they looked better against Georgia. So it's like we're kind of hitting that point where we're starting to figure teams out, but it's still hard to know completely. And so I think we'll know a lot more after this game about, all right, did Alabama actually find an offensive identity that can win? Did A&M actually find a defensive, you know, identity that can win? You know, I think those are some of the things that I'm curious about in this game. And of course, those are kind of going head to head, but I think you're right. There's a lot of similarities in just having a week two loss that led a lot of people to hit the panic button. And then for Bama, I think honestly, there was even more panic after the South Florida game, just of how poorly they played. But I think Ole Miss and Mississippi State wins have given them a little bit more hope. And I think this is kind of that make or break game where if they beat A&M, I think people will really be able to start talking themselves into what this team can do. And if Alabama loses to A&M, I mean, the panic button will be absolutely slammed and people will be freaking out.
Got to ask you about Caden Proctor. You mentioned him as a kind of an X factor in some shows earlier this week. Has he started to figure things out? It's tough to play, obviously, as a true freshman and get thrown in there, but has he started to figure things out, and how do you think this offensive line as a whole has played?
Yeah, I think they're starting to get better. I think they're starting to come together. I mean, I think from the beginning of the season, I think part of what the narrative was that there had been so much hype around this offensive line and the fact that they didn't play very well against Texas and didn't play very well against South Florida. It was more of just a not meeting expectations challenge. So I think that was part of why people were so disappointed, because they really thought the offensive line was going to take a major step this year. I think against Ole Miss and Mississippi State, they did. I think they played better. There's still some issues there. They've still had some weird snap issues. Seth McLaughlin has not been quite as good as people expected at center. Just some weird timing issues with him and Jalen Milroe. But Proctor's been one of those guys who's been a bit of a liability for Alabama. I think that they know the talent's there. He's a big guy, number one offensive lineman in the country, recruit-wise. But it's taken him some time to kind of get it figured out. And I think you're starting to see – feels like those wheels turning where he's figuring it out. But I do think he is a major question mark still in this game, even with all the talent, just knowing that if I'm A&M, I'm going after that guy and trying to, you know, make him stop me. And I think especially against South Florida, it seemed like he struggled against, you know, the speed rush. And so I would definitely try to test him there and see if he can hold up, make Jalen Milroe's life miserable tomorrow. Excuse me, on Saturday.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about Milroe because first time he ever played was against A&M last season, and it's kind of a tough spot to be thrown into, kind of a last second deal. But since then, I'm wondering how you've seen him grow. Is Bama just sort of saying, "Hey, just throw it 15 times a game, and we're going to start running the ball now, and that's going to be kind of the identity," and you see that sticking kind of throughout the rest of the season?
I mean, that was certainly the case against Mississippi State, and it worked out well against Mississippi State. You know, they won pretty easily, and, you know, I think Mississippi State's offense just couldn't do much defensively. I think part of it just depends on the team you play. I mean, I think it's hard for me to imagine that being a winning formula against LSU, knowing the way we think LSU can put up points. I mean, I also think Alabama's defense is really good, so they should keep them in games. I think the defense continues to keep you in games. Offensive line continues to improve. The running game has not been great, but it's been okay. It's been good enough. I think if all those three components are there, then Carter, to your point, I think that's what you can do. You can limit the shots you have to take. It's give them 15, 20 passes, kind of game manager, point guard, get the ball out, and just don't make big mistakes. I think that is a possible formula for them. But, you know, against Texas, they fell down and they had to take some shots. And so I think it's just somewhat of a game flow question, but I think Miller has definitely improved. You know, it's hard. We all play the comparison game. We all just watch 2 years of Bryce Young be incredible and do ridiculous things. And so it's hard for Milroe. Anybody coming in was going to have some challenges there, but I've definitely seen him improve. I think he's getting more confident back there. I think he's starting to figure it out. And he showed against Texas, he can make some big mistakes, did against Ole Miss too. But he's got a better, I think, deep ball than people give him credit for. He can still make that big dynamic play, whether it's the big pass or with his legs, which we saw against Mississippi State as well. So I think he's a dynamic guy. He's just, you know, he's a step back from what they had. And I think they're still trying to figure out what they have in him and how to tailor the offense around him.
Yeah, and I want to ask long-term with Milroe, is this somebody who could ultimately figure it out in a sense that he could end up being kind of an elite guy in college football as far as – because he does, like you said, have the arm strength. He can make the deeper throws. He's a really fast, incredible athlete. We've heard Jimbo Fisher talk about him this week. Like, hey, this is not KJ Jefferson in the sense of how you defend him. It's a lot different than your traditional dual-threat guy or your bigger guy. So I'm wondering long-term where you think he can improve and – what he can ultimately be.
Yeah, I mean, elite feels a little strong, but I think, like, very good, I think, is definitely possible. I think that there's, again, I think there's definitely been good growth. You know, you mentioned that A&M game last year, and, you know, we'll see what he does on Saturday, but I feel like he's improved a lot since then, at least. And I think it's, you know, some inherent challenges. You know, obviously they switched offensive coordinators, and I don't think Jalen Milroe is necessarily like the perfect Tommy Rees quarterback, you know? And so I think there's still some feeling out process there of, you know, trying to figure out how those two guys can figure out the best way to utilize both of their skills. But I think there's potential for him to certainly be an upper echelon SEC quarterback. He might already be, you know, I don't know what your QB rankings would be, but I think he's certainly gotten better, and I think that that room has improved, and it'll be really interesting to see, depending on how this season plays out, you know, what that room looks like a year from now. And they've got, you know, what some people believe to be either one or number two quarterback prospect coming in next year, and I think he's going to probably push whoever is the quarterback regardless for some time.
Joined by John Talty again from Bama247 to look ahead to this weekend's game between the Aggies and the Crimson Tide. We're going to take a quick break and be sure to stick with us. We'll be right back and to look a little bit more at the defensive side of the ball in this Alabama defense, which has once again been really good. So stick with us. We'll be right back after a quick break.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, welcome back into the Gingham 24/7 Sports Podcast. I am Andrew Hattersley, joined by Carter Carls and John Talty. John, got to ask you about this Alabama defense. It's another salty group and ranked among the top in the SEC. What have you seen from them so far, and what have been some of your big takeaways?
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, I know that's obvious, but I mean, I think that's where it starts, right? I think that there's just a lot of talent. I think they've obviously, it's been a huge key for keeping them in games when the offense has not been looking great. I think the secondary in particular is really strong. We had a story today on Bama 24/7 about Terrion Arnold, who, if you remember, you know, made that last second pass breakup against A&M last year. You know, didn't have a great game against A&M, but made that big play, had an interception. And he's really emerged as a really good cornerback alongside Kool-Aid McKinstry, who I think a lot of people know. So there's just a lot of talent from top to bottom. You know, this is not an Alabama defense that has those really dominant, I think, defensive linemen up front. You know, there's no Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, you know, A'shaun Robinson type, but there is some good talent there. And I think especially at linebacker and other spots, you know, guys like Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell have been very effective in the pass rush. I think those guys have really taken a step up this year with Will Anderson no longer being there. And so from top to bottom, it's just a really good group. You know, I think it's going to keep them in games. It's going to create problems for opposing offenses. And it's just, it's going to be tough to score on these guys. There's everybody has their flaws, and they certainly have weak points that you can attack, but I don't see a major flaw on this Alabama defense. So it'll be a real challenge, I think, for Texas A&M.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about Dallas Turner, because that freshman season he had, 2021, was unbelievable. I mean, he came on the scene. It's 8.5 sacks, I think. And then I guess last year, you know, I wasn't here, so I wasn't following it as closely, but it seemed like he – didn't come on quite like people thought he would, at least statistically. And then now here he is kind of back at it, 5.5 sacks already. for this season. So what went into that regression, I guess, last season, if you thought it was that, and then what's been clicking for him now? Why is it like it was in 2021?
Yeah, it's weird. I think everybody thought, to your point, after the first year he had, that he was just going to be a monster last year. And it just didn't happen. You know, I don't know if I have a great reason for why it didn't happen. I don't even know if he has a great reason for why it didn't happen. It just, for whatever reason, just didn't click. And to be perfectly honest, you know, Will Anderson had a monster year last year either. You know, I think it was just a kind of some scheme things maybe. And I think they were having to do some different stuff given, you know, other issues that they had. But, you know, I think both of those guys at times felt invisible, you know, which is surprising. And Will Anderson's a great player and obviously was drafted very highly. But there was a lot of talk this offseason about the work that Dallas had put in. And, you know, I remember talking to J.C. Latham, their offensive lineman at SC Media Days, and him talking about how, you know, how tough Dallas is to defend, how he thinks he's the best, you know, pass rusher in the SEC, and just kind of the different moves he's able to do on any given play makes him just so dangerous to defend. And so I think he definitely put in the work and is ready to kind of take that next step. And I also think that Bama's been more aggressive in using those guys. I think Chris Braswell as well. I think they're realizing, you know, maybe in part because they feel really good about their secondary, that they're willing to bring, you know, some more pressure, use Dallas and Chris in different ways to try to, you know, best utilize their skills. And it's, to this point, I mean, they're two of the most effective pass rushers in the SEC right now. So it's clearly working very well.
Big picture for you, John. I know the burning question that seems to get asked at least a couple times a year is how long Nick Saban's going to keep going for. How long do you think he's going to keep doing this for? And what's been the read around there about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the question that we always get, right? And to be perfectly honest, I don't think even he knows. You know, I think it's so hard to know. I mean, the thing he always comes back to, and he said it plenty of times, is basically when he feels like he can no longer deliver to a certain standard that he set, that would be the time for him to walk away. And I do believe that. I do believe that's what he intends to do. But we have seen coaches stay on too long. And, you know, that always gets hard. It gets awkward at the end, knowing when to walk away versus when to stay, you know, whether it's Bobby Bowden at Florida State, Joe Paterno at Penn State. You know, we've seen that plenty of times. So it's going to be really interesting. You know, and I think big picture wise, why this game is so fascinating to me is because I think for both of these coaches, there's a lot on the line. You know, I think for Jimbo, a loss here, I think would really stoke, you know, some issues with boosters and people being mad and all that. And can he get it back on track? And then I think for Saban, this would be the earliest that he's had two losses in a season since his first season in 2007 at Alabama. And I think it would probably mean that Alabama is not going back to the playoff for another year in a row. And I think there would be a lot of questions about his future at Alabama, not people pushing him out, but more just big picture. How long is he going to stay around? Has he lost his fastball? All of those things happen. I wrote about it today that, like, he's at that stage in his career where a win is just status quo and a loss is a catastrophe. And that's kind of just the stakes that he's at this stage. And so, I mean, it'll be really fascinating. And I think that he's already dealing a lot with people saying he's old on the recruiting trail, he's not going to be around. And I think that's why he does things like the Pat McAfee show to appeal to a younger audience and show he's youthful. And everything he does is purposeful. But another missed playoff this year, I think, will create some really interesting offseason questions about the long-term viability of Nick Saban, how long he plans to be at Alabama.
Doubt that Pat McAfee segment has been fun to watch so far this year. I would say I've tuned in for a couple of those.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a weird pairing, I would say. I think Nick Saban's starting to get it. It felt like today he was starting to get it. The first couple of times, I feel like he was kind of bemused, but didn't really know what to do with Pat McAfee. Right. But I think he's starting to get it, and it's a fun pairing. Who knows? I could see. Yeah, I remember writing about this in my book a couple of years ago, but, like, you know, Nick Saban's been interested in College Game Day for a long time. I think he's, you know, that would potentially be a real career path for him should he ever decide to retire. So, you know, those two guys could end up working on game day together one day.
Gosh, that would be crazy. John, you may not be able to answer this, but it is something that people think about along with the Saban, you know, how much longer does he have? it's kind of that question of like, who's going to replace him, right? Like who are the guys out there that Bama fans think would be? It feels like such an impossible role to fill. And for so long, it felt like people said Dabo just because of the Bama connection and where he had Clemson at. Now people are seeing where Clemson is now, and they're like, oh, I don't know about Dabo. So, yeah. And he's also just a controversial guy, it feels like. Some people like him, some people hate him. So in the Bama circles, when fans are talking on the message boards, who do they point to as like, oh, we want this guy or we want that guy? Who are kind of those names?
Yeah, I don't think there's a really great obvious name right now, to be honest with you. And I think one of the crazy things about it is that even if Dabo, who has won multiple national championships at Clemson, even if he were to come to Alabama, he at best would be the third best coach Alabama's ever had because of Nick Saban and Bear Bryant. And so like that's the challenge that anybody's walking into, which is crazy. You know, first, do I want to build something somewhere else? And so if you wanted to tie it back to the Saban tree and things like that, some of the most obvious names I just don't view as viable at this point. I don't see Kirby Smart leaving Georgia. The way that Sark has Texas rolling right now, I don't really see Sark leaving Texas for Alabama. So you try to find who's the next option. There was a time, given the success he had at Louisiana and then going to Florida, I thought, all right, if Billy Napier can get Florida up and running, that one would make sense to me. He has struggled so far at Florida. I don't think Alabama fans are dying to get him back. So, I mean, I think if you pulled the message board, and it does pop up from time to time, I mean, it's Deion Sanders, which I don't see as a fit at Alabama. I think it'd be a lot of fun, but I don't really see that one. The one name that I think could make sense long term would be Dan Lanning at Oregon. A young guy. He's got, you know, previous GA at Alabama. I think his wife is from the South, or he's got obviously some Southern roots, you know, was at Georgia, Memphis. And I think it's just, you know, Oregon's going into the Big Ten, which helps, but I think, you know, it's tough to recruit out there. And so I could see, if he has a couple of successful years at Oregon, you know, he's a really young guy, worked for Saban previously. I could see that being a natural fit, but it's just hard. I mean, there's just not a lot of obvious names out there. And I think what's wild about college football, particularly right now, is that it just changes so fast. I mean, a guy who was hot 2 years ago can be done 2 years later. I mean, it flips over so quickly in that regard. And at Alabama, you're walking into not dissimilar to A&M, but you're walking into quite a pressure cooker. You know, you're walking into people who, if you lose two games, it is a disaster. And you have to be uniquely built, I think, to handle that. And some guys are, some guys aren't. And I sometimes joke that there's nothing I'd rather cover than an Alabama coaching search after Nick Saban. And there's also, like, I wouldn't mind being like 5,000 miles away while it's happening. Cause I just think it's going to be wild when it finally goes down, because it's just been so long. I mean, they haven't had one since 2007, and Alabama has been very normal for that period. But I think when Saban goes, I think you'll see some of the craziness pop back up.
Excellent stuff, John. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to join us and look ahead to this weekend's game, and safe travels on the way down to College Station, and appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Absolutely. Good talking to you guys. See you in College Station in a couple of days.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.